We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Greg Olson, here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year NFLSundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code Greg88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code Greg88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
It feels like Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, 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 Miami. It feels like Miami.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heapy Postgame Show. I'm your host, Sergeant Carlo Navas, and with me today, producer, co-founder, Brian Goins.
Yo, Heat in 4, guys.
Our trash tweeter, Jack Alfonso.
What up?
And we're welcoming in our homie from Locked On Heat, honorary Heat member, David Reville.
Honorary? Wow, that's great.
Honorary. Rivals, but honorary. You know, we're homies. We're part of the same family here, you know?
Very, very happy to be here.
David, you need to bring the energy up. The Heat just upset the number one seeded Milwaukee Bucks, one of the best regular season teams of all time, the number one defense in the league, the super duper scary MVP/depoy Giannis. They steal game one, lead almost the entire way in the fourth quarter. Jimmy Butler hitting Kawhi Leonard-esque shots, completely taking the fuck over, absolutely turning the knife in Milwaukee. I am jacked, ecstatic, surprised.
Are you alive?
Scared, alive. I haven't felt that alive for a playoff game in a long time. I mean, like, it's probably been since the 2016 playoff run where I legit thought the Heat had a chance to make the finals. You know, like, we talked a lot of shit going up to this game, Jack. We talked a lot about they can do it. You know, here are the matchups. We had Nikias and Christian and Alex last show really breaking down how this can happen.
Wow, you left out Frankie.
And Frankie, our 2K coach.
Did you say Alex?
I did say Alex.
Okay,
we
have all this.
I got everybody, okay? I just missed Frankie. And all these people on ESPN, on Turner, all these experts, quote unquote, right? These national media pundits are picking the Heat. We're all kind of nervous. And I was talking to some friends, and I'm like, yo, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little shook going into this game. And my friends are like, yo, we're going to blink, and it might be 3-1 Bucks. You know what I mean? Like, it could get ugly fast. And what they did today, I mean, even going into that into the half, like, you know, looking pretty good score-wise, Jack, this felt like a reality. It felt like it's not just, you know, we've talked, we've gassed ourselves up, but they fucking went out there and they played especially a great second half. And suddenly, it's not just fallacy. Like, they won game one.
They won by 11 points, guys.
It's not just like they eked by, you know, with some questionable stuff. No, they nearly won. Was it 11 points?
Yeah, 11 points.
Double digits.
And to even, like, put more to that, like, the fucking Bucks shot over 60% that first quarter. He scored 40 points, guys.
64 points the rest of the game over the course of three periods.
This is not a defensive juggernaut Heat team, you know?
But they have
the Bucks didn't come out like they weren't asleep for this game. That was the thing. That was what I did not want in game one. I didn't want a Heat win where it felt like the Bucks kind of were half-assed, like underestimating the Heat, still like sluggish coming off of a Magic series. They came out firing. They came out like ready to kill. And they played like, you know, as well. You know, you can say Giannis is going to be Giannis. Like, he's going to be the MVP level player. Like, this team is obviously not done. But, like, Brook played really well. Chris Middleton, like,
was
Chris Middleton
Jordan today
played ridiculously well. Yeah, and I mean, Miami, yeah, the defense was better than I've ever seen it from this Heat team, from this season's Heat team. Jimmy is incredible. Bam was
hold on. You can't just say that and disregard everything that you've written in our DMs.
Look, this is what I say about Jimmy. I've told you this a million times. Jimmy Butler is like edibles. You gotta shit talk him, and then he kicks your ass. You just gotta start shit talking him a little bit. You gotta say, I don't see Jimmy playing very well. Like, he's kind of asleep for this game. He's not really playing like a star. Then boom, 40 points.
David, were you surprised by today? Like, did this you're kind of a Heat Twitter pessimist. Were you kind of surprised by what we had on tonight?
No, actually, I really wasn't. No, I mean, I was.
Did you not listen to Locked On's preview pod? I did. I listened to it today with Wes Goldberg.
Thank you, Brian. You know, I think that they're a team that's capable of challenging Milwaukee. Maybe that's overly simplistic, but I didn't expect for them to start off as flatly as they did in that first quarter. To give up 40 points, I started kind of going into doom and gloom mode at that point. I thought, you know, they were going to give up so many points. Like, Adetokounmpo hit 2 threes. I mean, that was ridiculous. No one ever saw that kind of shooting from him. He started to have that kind of that swag about him as he was taking up perimeter shots. And I'm thinking, oh, here it goes. It can be dangerous. And to Alex's point, I mean, they were, you know, struggling from the, I'm sorry, they had everybody going from the perimeter. It was just a really, really good first quarter for them. And then all of a sudden, Miami's defense just tightened up so considerably. And it was really impressive. And I did not think that Jimmy Butler had that kind of performance. And this was superior to anything I had expected from him before. I mean, we've seen him have big moments, but he was just so consistently great. And it just turned the whole quarter around and crushed their souls.
Dude, it felt like Kawhi. Like, I'm being honest with you. Like, the shots he was hitting, like, the way he was operating from that baseline, coming off those picks, that little pick and roll. What I really liked at the end of that game is that Dragic kept screening for Jimmy, which really left Giannis and Brook Lopez out of those plays completely. Because Jimmy's like, I'm going to operate from the mid-range. There came a point of the game where Jimmy's had Nui at his jumper going, and he's like, I'm going to shoot from mid-range. I'm not even going to bother going to the rim, even though he was able to get there all night. Goran was screening. They were even switching George Hill onto him, which is a matchup he's going to eat all day long. And they were getting whatever they wanted. I mean, Middleton was getting caught behind the Dragic screens. He was getting to his spots. I love that strategy from them. I'm curious to see how the Bucks counter it. I thought it was what you need, like, a star player to do. You know, oftentimes, you know, especially against great teams, you know, you're not going to be able to get into the offense that you want. But if your best player can take shots he's comfortable with, like Jimmy did today, that's going to change it. And I said last episode that if Jimmy can shoot a little bit around 40% from mid-range, they have a fucking great chance to win the series and win it within like six games. Because if he's going to have that available to him, that's going to completely change the way the Bucks can defend him. And they're going to run out of, like, it's just going to – they have to give the Heat something, and if that's what they're going to give the Heat, and if he could hit that, I don't really know how I don't really know how the Bucks can win.
Well, I mean, I want to point out something that Jack mentioned pre-show. What was the tweet that Cooper Moorhead had posted today, talking about the last time the Bucks lost a game where a team has shot 15 or made 15 less threes with Giannis playing? It was the second time that they've lost a game where a team that they've allowed.
The second time that Milwaukee lost all season where their opponent did not hit at least 15 threes. Hmm. That just goes to show free throws and turnovers is kind of what Coop accounted it to. But, yeah, I mean, Butler just kind of took over. And if he's going to be that player, he's the best player in the series. Giannis is MVP-level player, kicks ass. But in a playoff game, in the half court is where it really matters. Like, when it comes down to it, if Butler can do that in the half court, then he's the best player in the series. Like, because Giannis can't do that in the half court.
What?
He can do amazing things, and he's going to come back with a better game. This is not going to be his best game in the series, not by far. But he can't do what Butler just did. Very few players can.
What do you mean, like maybe just Kawhi kind of can pick you apart from the mid-range, is what you're saying?
Yeah, just kind of hit you from anywhere on the floor. Like, Butler hit basically any shot you could have asked him to hit. Like, he was hitting threes, he was hitting floaters, he was getting to the rim and getting fouls, he was hitting mid-range shots, like, and just, yeah, like.
I think the difference between that is that, you know, Giannis is always looking to get downhill, and while he's not really a jump shooter, he can get to the free throw line and he can get to the rim in a dribble. But what I thought Miami did really well today was they forced him to be a passer, and while he did get to the rim and he did get to the line, he did miss some free throws, and he turned the ball over 6 times. And I think a product of that is, yeah, some of it's a little bit of sloppy Milwaukee offense, but I think when you force a guy to make those passes over and over and over again, when he's really not that kind of playmaker, you know, you're going to open yourself up to more turnovers. And there was a pass that he kind of gave George Hill like a little too low. You know what I mean? It's things like that, that when you're really playing within those tight margins, that a pass that might be a little too low on the baseline, that's a turnover, and Miami was able to capitalize on that. So I kind of agree with you, kind of disagree with, I mean, Giannis could pick you apart a million other ways, but yeah, I mean, from a jump.
Yeah, I mean, he's young.
Yeah, from a jump shooting perspective.
I thought this tweet was a good way to put it was this from NBA Couch Side. Jimmy is proof the most valuable thing in the league is being able to get a bucket in the half court against a set defense. That's why he looks better in the playoffs consistently, and Giannis looks worse consistently. Like, I think Giannis is going to have an incredible series. I think that's the biggest worry for the Heat going forward, is that he's not going to play this poorly going forward. But that is a real concern with Giannis. That's the biggest concern with Giannis, is that if he's not getting downhill, what else can he hit you with?
Did he play poorly, though? I mean,
no.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
No, he didn't. Yeah. But he didn't play like an MVP.
Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, but I don't know that he'll necessarily have like a 30-point explosion. And that's talked earlier about what's the next counter for Milwaukee. And I don't know that they have one. I mean, they've got as good a performance out of Middleton as they're going to get. Lopez was fantastic. You know, everybody contributed in their own way, whether it's – I mean, look, they can bring back Eric Bledsoe, and maybe his defense can limit what Goron does to some degree. But other than that, what else is there from this Bucks team that can take it to another level? I mean, Adetokounmpo, 4 of 12. I mean, 33% from the line. That's amazing. I mean, he shot 50% from the field. Maybe he can be a little bit more aggressive and not – pass the ball up as much as he did, but at the same time, you know, I don't think that Miami's defense is going to collapse, barring any significant foul trouble from any of their key defenders.
So a couple things on that. The first thing is that I do expect Giannis's free throw numbers to go up. I know he's not, you know, a Durant or a Curry from the line before. 4 of 12 is pretty bad, and if he's going to get 12 free throws a game, you know, he's gonna knock those down, getting in a rhythm. Second thing that Milwaukee didn't really go to, and Nikias mentioned this last show, is having a guy like Middleton's man or George Hill's man, or Bledsoe's man if he ever plays, screen for Giannis in the half court. So when Giannis was at center, they kind of played him straight up with Bam. And as good as Bam is, you know, Giannis with a spread pick and roll, 4 out, and Giannis up top, Miami did not necessarily have a good answer to stop that. It was just a matter of Bud not going to it a lot. So the adjustments could be they go more five out, right? Four out with Giannis up top, Giannis at the five, because those minutes, I didn't think Miami particularly had any good solutions. Miami also beat Milwaukee rebounding. They out-rebounded the Bucks, which is not something that the Heat are going to do pretty consistently. You want to guess how many rebounds Brook Lopez had today?
One.
He had one rebound today. This is, like, crazy.
Bam hadn't it, like, I think he was shaky in some parts, and I think that's one of the most encouraging things about this game is that I think we're guaranteed, as much as we're guaranteed, like, I think at least one 30-point Giannis game, I agree with you, David, that I think what they showed against Giannis is, like, repeatable. But I do think, like, he's going to break free, just like Duncan is going to break free, despite the Bucks playing him well. Like, I think Bam is going to have one of those games where he's aggressive offensively, and instead of having, like, 12 points, 17 rebounds, and, like, however many assists, he's going to have, like, 20 points, and he's going to look like the center of their offense while Butler kind of, you know, still plays incredibly well as a secondary offensive role. Like, I think that's the coolest thing about Bam is he can beat you in so many ways. Like, but 17 rebounds where Brook has one rebound, like, I mean, that was the difference, one of the big differences in this game. Like,
you've counted on restaurants all your life. Now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings the food that you've been craving right to your door. Ordering is really easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and the food will be safely delivered outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, the Cheesecake Factory, anything. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery as well. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on the way. Right now, our listeners get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order on $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and use promo code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you use the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget the code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Sundays are back in the NFL. Watch NFL Sunday Ticket.tv. You could stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite device. Plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. Never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE. They out-rebounded the Bucks by 12. And that, like, so for Miami, which is a team that doesn't have the best player on the floor, right? They don't have the reigning. I mean, they don't have the reigning two-time MVP. They don't have a guy like Chris. I mean, other than Jimmy and Bam, you know, I guess Goron is really played up to par lately. But just the talent discrepancy at the top, I mean, what Giannis is able, I mean, Miami's entire game plan.
Yeah, well, I put it this way. Miami's three best players play better than Milwaukee's three best players. And I feel like that swung the game for them.
And that's true. And part of that is limiting Bam's attempts and making him a turnover machine. And the other part is Jimmy hit all his jumpers. And listen, you're going to, like, if you're the lower seed and if you're a team that clearly is not, like, we had a whole regular season sample. Miami is not the Bucks, right? And if you're going to beat a team that's that good, that was on a historic pace before the season got shut down,
please,
you're going to need some stuff like Jimmy Butler, anomalous performances with the jump shooting. But that's what you have a guy like that for. That's what that's what you trade. That's what you put all your future into, a guy like that. I have to eat my words. I didn't want to max a 30-year-old guy when their cap space situation was a little weird. I have to fucking eat that. Bro, he's awesome.
It looks amazing right now. Barry Jackson tweeted saying that there's going to be a fucking line, like a fucking kiosk at a deli, on who's going to fill up that last max slot in 2021.
How would you not want to play with that guy? How do you look at that performance and put the fucking whole team on his back when Bam did not necessarily have it going offensively, missing how many dunks Bam missed?
Did you see Joel Embiid live tweeting the game? That was hilarious.
Yeah. Embiid's tweets.
I did. It made me a little sad.
I don't know about that. Maybe he can come off the bench for Bam.
Yo, Goran, let's talk about Goran a little bit.
Can we mention the Wade tweet first before we get to Goran?
I did not even see the Wade tweet. What happened?
Wade basically was tweeting how much he loved Jimmy Butler and that's playoff Jimmy right there. That's what he brings. And apparently he texted Jimmy Butler right after the game, and that was I think Jimmy brought it up in the post game presser,
which I did not get to see.
I love Dwayne.
Call. Thanks a lot, again.
Let's go, David.
Here's
what a lifer.
Here's a quote. It says, "It's great to have Dwayne Wade in my corner. He's the first person to text me in the locker room."
Lifer.
Wow.
Wade lifer.
He also said, "I told my teammates I probably wasn't going to pass the ball. I made a couple shots. They said that's fine with me."
Listen, that's
that was the coolest thing to see is that they were just clearing out for him towards the end of the game. They wanted him having the ball every possession. You said it. Just Goran setting screens for him. Just everybody get out of the way. Jimmy is going to win this for us. Like, they haven't had a guy like that since Dwayne Wade.
David,
I mean, really, they haven't had a guy like that since LeBron.
How dare you? David, they're all, like, they've all bought into Jimmy. They've all, you know, for all the talks, for all that nonsense that happened in Milwaukee and all the people that said Jimmy can't get along with his teammates, Jimmy fractures locker rooms, Jimmy's not about winning, Jimmy's about this, Jimmy's about that. That looked like a fucking winner today. That looked like a guy who had his locker room behind him. That looked like a guy who had his young players behind him. That looks like a guy that instills confidence in his young players, that instills confidence in his shooters, that encourages his young all-star, that has respect from the veterans in this league, that have the most respect in the league. Look at a guy like Udonis Haslam and Andre Iguodala, that during the work strike, those are the two voices that you kept hearing consistently come out. And those aren't star-level players. Those are just guys in the league that are intelligent, that are smart, that are experienced, and that get a lot of respect around the league. Champions, and Jimmy has respect from all those guys.
Yes,
and it's been earned.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's very well said. Yeah, it's so fun to watch him because I did have concerns. I thought a lot of the talk about him in Minnesota and Philadelphia was overblown, and I remember even honestly, and I think I've brought this up maybe even on this show before, but I remember interviewing him when he was in Minnesota and seeing him in that locker room. Just kind of, it was a real cold locker room between him and Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins and everything else. And you could tell that it wasn't quite right. But I kept asking him about his connection with Wiggins and how to maximize a player like him. And he just said, he kept reiterating the work, the work, the work. And I walked out of there thinking, you know, maybe it's because of my perspective covering the team, but I said, man, this guy is such a perfect fit for Miami. And that was well before the botched trade that fell through. And then, of course, the year in Philadelphia and everything else. And it's just, I've long maintained that he was a perfect fit here. But to see him in that locker room this year and to see the kind of chemistry and him constantly talk up Bam, forge a friendship with Goran, like he's, I'm not sure if it's been with a purpose or if this is just naturally who Jimmy is. I tend to think it's the latter, but he just has gone along really well with everybody in that locker room, even guys like Dion and James before they were, you know, traded away. It's just, he's been a great fit there. Having another Marquette player like Jay on the roster, I think has really helped too. He's formed a friendship there. Having an older statement like Andre Iguodala come in, again, he's reached out and formed this friendship. It's been really, really great to see him. And of course, it's great that he backs it up too. Whatever he does in that locker room and the accountability that's in that locker room, we've heard that term a lot because of what Josh Richardson said in Philadelphia. Accountability in Miami has been a huge thing, and that he backs it up on the floor and that he gets everybody to maximize their abilities has been phenomenal to watch.
You know what it is, David? It's like when you have a guy like Jimmy who's scoring 40 points, is doing all the offensive finessing, but is also putting his head down, getting to the free throw line, getting hit by a very physical Bucks team that's doing all the work defensively, that's digging in deep, that's fighting over picks, running all over the place defending Middleton,
yep,
doing everything from defending Middleton to Giannis to being on Brooke in scramble situations. I mean, it's funny when you think of Stephen A. Smith saying he doesn't know if Jimmy Butler could be that dude.
No, I don't think that Jimmy Butler can be the alpha for the championship team this year. But I don't view him that way when you got the Greek Freak in the conference, when you got Jason Tatum in the conference, albeit younger, when you look at Philadelphia with Embiid and Ben Simmons. But to win this year, if you are the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler cannot be that go-to guy to finish the deal for you.
You know what I mean? Like, and a guy like that who really takes all the responsibility on himself, does everything on both ends, from the little to the big. That's Miami Heat basketball, you know, and he probably embodies it as much as anyone not named Udonis Haslem. I mean, yeah. Like, that's he's the culture.
I mean, look, I know this probably sounds like a travesty here, you know, on this call, but I was never always 100% convinced of Dwayne's level of commitment. I really do think that there were times over the course of his great career here in Miami that maybe he wasn't always that type of player, that he did not always give 100%. And I know it's only been a 1 year sample size, but I don't have those same questions about Jimmy. So that might just be an opinion.
That's fair. I mean, like, you know, I mean, Dwayne's obviously like a top 15 talent of all time in the league. Dwayne is, you know, the lifer of Heat lifers. He's the cornerstone of this franchise, and he's the reason why any of this is even possible. Like, let's first, before we have a conversation of Dwayne, like, the Jimmy Butler's here because of Dwayne.
No doubt.
And I think it's been well documented. Dwayne, no, I know you're not. I just want the audience to know that, like, you know, but, you know, Dwayne's a superstar. Dwayne's a little Hollywood at times. And, you know, Jimmy doesn't stay back on defensive possessions yelling at the refs. I mean, obviously, Jimmy's not as good a player as Dwayne, so he's not afforded that kind of privilege.
That's a good point.
And, you know, Jimmy might not have another 40-point playoff game ever again. And Dwayne had him very consistently. So, you know, two different guys, but just, you know, on both ends of the spectrum of incredibly hardworking and great.
But it fits better, I think, having a guy like Jimmy on this roster than a guy like Dwayne. Maybe not.
He's more of a Pat Riley guy. He's more of a Pat Riley kind of. And it's funny because Pat's had guys like Patrick Ewing and Jimmy that are probably more and Alonzo, right? And then he's had guys like Magic, Dwayne, and LeBron. You know, this it's like almost two different sides of the Pat Riley lifers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think Jimmy does more with less, maybe. I don't know.
He's awesome. And
I think he's a great marketing tool for Miami, even more so than like Dwayne Wade.
No, Dwayne,
you know, the greatest marketing.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade's Hall of Fame, you know, marketing Hall of Fame.
Yeah. But let me side with David for a little bit and just, you know, I think Dwayne was a great marketing tool for Dwayne. Like, Dwayne was selling, "Hey, you can come play with me. I'm Dwayne Wade. And we're going to win."
No, but he sold the culture. Remember, like, the Jimmy Butler quotes in Chicago.
But Butler is, like, culture personified.
Yeah, but because...
And what he's selling is...
Well, he didn't know what that was until Dwayne's in Chicago telling him, like, "Yo, man, like, back where I came from, this is how we used to do stuff. Not, like, whatever Jim Boylan's doing."
I think it's a little different. I think...
It wasn't Boylan back then. It wasn't... what's his name?
It wasn't. No, Jim Boylan was the coach.
No. It was the.
Not back then.
God, what's
his name? Oh, you're right. It was that other failure.
The blonde college coach that was a.
Yes.
I can't remember.
The guy that decided he was going to punish Dwayne. Remember that? He, like, put Dwayne in timeout for a game.
Kirk Scott. I don't know. Some white guy.
Some white guy.
Here's what I'm saying, though. I think with Dwayne Wade, there was some question from the outside about, like, oh, is Heat culture really a thing, or is it really just that they have three of the most talented players who have ever played the game of basketball, and with a good supporting cast too, and like an incredible coach? But with Jimmy Butler, it's like so clear in the way he plays. Like, he's the most intense player who's ever played, and also it like comes across in his personality. And it's just, it permeates every part of Jimmy Butler.
A little crazy too.
Culture permeates every part of Jimmy Butler. So it's so in your face that he's a culture guy that it's undeniable that Heat culture is not like
deny
kind of
culture.
A thing.
Yo, David,
you can't deny it.
David, I want to ask you something because I saw somebody tweet this, but I don't know if it's true. Did Jimmy not want his family in the bubble? Is that true, or did I just read like a person on Twitter making a joke?
I don't know. Because
that was on the broadcast. It was on the broadcast.
Yeah. I don't. He has not brought it up in any of the Zoom calls. In fact, I specifically asked him. I think it was yesterday. You know, because we keep seeing so much, especially after the last few days, and how difficult they've been for everybody, and players like Paul George, and down the line, speaking specifically about mental wellness. And I said, hey, you know, is this a concern of yours? Is this something that's affected you and maybe the other players on the team? And do you have any regrets about you know, entering the bubble. And he said no, that obviously he misses his family a great deal, that he wants to see them, but that he's happy with the way the team's going and everything else. So I haven't heard anything about that. I know it kind of makes for a great joke.
It's funny. There's video. No, it's there's video, and basically it was Jimmy Butler said he wasn't going to bring his family to the bubble because he's all about that business.
He said this on a Zoom call that he wasn't going to bring...
Not on the Zoom call. I guess he told whoever the TNT reporter was for the game.
Oh. That's amazing. I fucking love him. He's crazy. Never leave, man.
He's Michael Jordan.
Never leave, dude.
It's a
Never
business
leave.
Trip.
I love him. Yo, okay, I want to get from one lifer to another. Goran Dragic, Gogi, has been... Man,
he's amazing, man. He scored over 20 points in all the playoff games he's played so far.
Bro, he's been out. I mean, the little floater that he has going for him this series, it's going to be huge. The way, I mean, for you to get to the rim against a historically great defense at defending the rim, I mean, the idea that Goran can press the issue that, you know, to borrow Zach Lowe and Nikias' terms, dictate the terms of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's great shooter. He has a spring in his offense that just wasn't there last year.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest with you, this is as good as he's looked since 7-11, since 30-11.
There was a tweet that I saw from Chef Trilli, which I thought was kind of curious. Where would you rank Dragic's playoff performances now compared to Dwayne Wade during that Charlotte-Toronto playoff series?
The 2016.
Yeah, I saw the Trilli
tweet.
That's
interesting.
I mean, like Trilli said, Dwayne did more with less. I mean, obviously, you know, this roster is a lot more talented than that 2016 team. I mean, Justice was arguably their second best player, a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Bosh was out. Hassan.
Oh, your boy, Luol Deng.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
Luol
Deng was
Lou.
Really, really good.
I mean, but Luol Deng is not Bam Adebayo. You know
he had
I mean?
A huge
like,
game against the Hornets.
I love Luol Deng. Listen. I love Uncle Lou. If I've said before on this show, if they had 2016 Luol Deng on this team right now, it's a fucking championship. Guaranteed.
They're in the finals for sure.
It's a wrap.
Power forward Luol Deng was a
it's a wrap. Revelation. If they had, like, I mean, like, listen, with all due respect to Jay Crowder, 2016 Luol Deng, woof,
who started in place of Chris Bosh against the Hornets? I can't even recall now.
Luol Deng.
Yeah, Luol Deng
starting
at
the four?
That was your four
yes.
and five, yep.
Yes.
Yeah, Luol Deng was
Luol
the four
Deng at the
since
four.
Like March of that season.
Yes, when Chris Bosh went down, Spo's like, well, shit.
Yeah,
was Justice they put Justice at the five.
Oh,
Justice what? Justice
was at the five in the
yeah.
Raptors.
That was yeah. That was different.
Yeah, because they were decimated.
Whiteside got hurt going up against Valanciunas.
Yeah,
well, both Valanciunas and Hassan went down. That series was
and
awful.
Dang. Dang had the bone bruise in his knee too.
That's right. Everybody was hurt. It was like Justice at the
Bro,
five.
They
Let's
had
go.
To get McRoberts
and Diombo just getting to the rim at one.
Yeah, McRoberts.
Joe Johnson forgot how to play basketball.
Let's talk more about Dragic though.
Yeah, let's not talk.
Let's not talk about 2016.
But I thought. It was interesting to compare like those because obviously they're both over 30 years old, and obviously Wade started, so they're both starting. But I feel like what you're seeing now, Dragic, has been like something that we didn't really expect coming to these playoffs, but it's something we fucking really needed in order to win these games.
So, something that I've really liked about Dragic, especially when Jimmy's not in the game, is that you know he's really the only vet on the team that could really create his own shot and attack off the dribble. And what's important about that is that a guy like Tyler and a guy like Nunn, they're not going to be as sharp and as experienced as kind of finagling and manipulating the defense to get the matchups they want. So Goran is kind of directing traffic, and he's having Kyle Korver's man come screen him. So now he's going to have a one-on-one with Kyle Korver when he gets off that 1-2 pick and roll. Right. And with the floater in his bag and Brook Lopez dropping so deep in the paint, he suddenly has a lot of options and he's able to get to the line. He's able to find guys in the corners with Jay and all that stuff. So what he's been able to do in terms of manipulating matchups on the floor has been huge for them. Cause Tyler's just like, I'm gonna get the ball and I'm gonna come off my handoff and I'm just gonna go. Right? Like Bam is the one that's really initiating and triggering those sets. When it's Goran, he's really it's very meticulous and he plans this out. And that's and in a matchup like this, when there's not many favorable matchups on the floor for you, especially when I mean the Heat are playing, you know, at times Goran and Nunn or Goran and Hero, that's a really small backcourt against a team with a lot of length.
Yeah.
So you have to find those matchups that are going to be good for you. And I think the Heat did a really good job today, and Goran specifically, of keeping Giannis and Brooke away from them.
Goran with 5 more rebounds than Brooke Lopez in the game.
Let's go, dude. Let's go. Goran's about that action, dude. Goran's a scrappy guy, dude. He's
other teams hate Goran for a reason. Because he's a tough ass motherfucker.
You see him kind of getting into it with George Hill. Like, there's some tension there. I'm not sure from where, but they don't seem to like each other that much. I'm not sure.
Didn't they play against each other? Was there a playoff series that he played against each other? I know George Hill's played against the Heat before. Was Dragic on one of those teams?
I think he's only been in the Eastern Conference, so I don't think.
No, okay.
Unless I'm missing anything.
Because I know that he played George Hill multiple times in playoffs.
Cleveland.
No, he was in Utah, right?
He was in Utah, yeah. But I mean, Goran hasn't really had any significant playoff moments outside of Phoenix and Miami, so I don't really see.
It reminds me, though, this reminds me of something we talked about in the playoff preview, though. I mentioned that I was kind of worried about the young guys on the Heat that Miami relies pretty heavily on. I guess Duncan and Hero and Bam are kind of in that conversation. I mean, not that Hero or Bam have been disappointing at all, and I wouldn't say Robinson's been disappointing, but that they have been maybe muted at times, especially Robinson. Like, he's had more like quiet games than
two good games and in the regular three season quiet where games, you could, I think, overall.
Yeah. He's still been really good. Like, I'm not disappointed in him. But, like, the fact that you have a veteran like Goran stepping up, giving you this consistent, incredibly good play, like, this centering, like, presence on offense.
Getting to the free throw line.
Like, honestly, decent on defense. Like, you know, he's Goran, but, like,
I wouldn't say decent on defense.
He's competent on both sides of the floor.
No, I would say he's bad defensively, and the Pacers took way too long to figure that out and exploit it, and the Bucks. George Hill is not that. I mean,
he shut down Malcolm Brogdon, man. Come on, recall.
I don't want to listen. We don't have to gas up Goran and say shit that's untrue. He's been a.
I don't think he's a good defender. He's competed. But I don't think he's a stupid defender.
He's
not a stupid defender, and he's not a lazy defender.
So I want to say something, because you guys talked about a little bit about Duncan Robinson's kind of muted performances. He was 1-for-4 from three, but he was a +6 and. The thing I think is important about Duncan in this matchup is that even though he didn't really get the field goal reps, and again, another game that he did not close, did not play 30 minutes, right? But he's a guy that Middleton is defending him. And at the end of that game, Middleton lost some of those legs. And a lot of that is he chased Duncan's ass around all game. And that's tiring.
Because whenever Matthews was on him for most of the
they did both. No, Middleton did a lot of defending on Duncan. And if Duncan's job is to be the world's greatest decoy,
so be it.
That's what you that then so be it, because it works, because teams are terrified of him, and they're putting. I mean, Wes Matthews did a lot with Jimmy Butler. I mean, it was a team effort between Middleton and Wes on Jimmy. But you know, if you're gonna have a guy like Middleton who's gonna be responsible for your offense, having to either chase Duncan Robinson around hell or defend Jimmy Butler the whole game, that's going to get you tired. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I tweeted during the game. I thought both teams looked kind of tired, and then Jimmy just seemed to have a reserve of energy that nobody else seemed to have, and that's why he was so incredible in that fourth quarter. But they had expended so much emotional energy, and again, even to your point, so much physical energy, just trying to constantly go around screens and defending at such a high level. They kind of both looked a little out of it towards the end there, with the exception of Jimmy.
In a weird roundabout way, like, the Heat have a shit ton of wing defenders that, you know, they don't have any point of attack guys, but they have, you know, Giannis saw time from Jimmy Butler, Jay Crowder, Andre Iguodala, and Bam, right? So they have all these guys to defend wings, and they all took turns. And in a way that the Bucks, you know, really only let Wes and Middleton defend Jimmy, because they had Giannis on Bam for stretches as well, especially when Giannis was at the five. Miami kind of has a little bit of a luxury with that trade that they got two wing defenders for one, even though the one was really special. But I think the bodies in this kind of deep playoff run count, and I don't think that we talk about that enough. The idea of kind of taking off the load from your star player, because when the rubber met the road, it was Bam on Giannis at the end of the game, right? So you by giving Giannis a bunch of different looks, you know, Jay, Jimmy, Andre. You have Giannis at him at the end, and he's not seeing the same damn thing every single time. And that's huge.
Yep. Also, coffee is for closers.
Did someone say playoffs? NBA and NHL are playing for gold, and our partners Bet Online have you covered. Get in on all the action, including a new NBA bracket contest with plenty of chances to win. MLB season is pushing into fall, and there's no shortage of ways to bet with hundreds of odds, futures, and props. So take advantage of the return of sports. And remember, the casino never closes. Check it out all day, all night. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online sportbook experts.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.